Today's epistle reading comes from Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 through 7. John to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his Father and God, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and on his account all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen.
I invite you to stand for the reading of the gospel. It is John, the 20th chapter, verses 19 through 21. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then his disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through him, believing, you may have life in his name forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Maybe if I get away from the Easter lilies a little bit, if I don't, my throat is going to be swelling shut and I will be holding my breath, but not on purpose. Have you ever wondered what it would be like, would have been like to have been there that first day? You know, when Mary came running back to the tomb yelling, "We have seen the Lord," and Thomas and John went running towards the tomb. That night, as all the disciples gathered together, and they were trying to figure out what was wrong, what had happened, where Jesus was, and then to suddenly have him come and stand among them. Can you imagine what that was like? You know, I love reading that story. But I really like it when you get down to Thomas. I love Thomas. You know, Thomas, out of all of the disciples, is probably the most human of them all, the most believable. He was so real. He loved to ask questions. And those of you who know me well know that I never run out of questions. And Thomas, Well, he didn't ask questions just to ask questions. He wanted to know. He waited for the answer. Remember when Jesus was telling the disciples that he was going out ahead of them and he was going to prepare a place for them? And then he says, "You know where I'm going." Okay, now excuse me. He hadn't told them when he was leaving. He hadn't told them where he was going. He wasn't telling them exactly why he was going. And then he suddenly says, "And you know where I'm going?" Okay, so Thomas says, excuse me. How are we supposed to know where you're going if you don't tell us where you're going? We don't know the way. You know, as far as Thomas was concerned, life without Jesus would be intolerable. So he wasn't about to leave anything to chance. He wanted to know, "Where are you going? I want to be sure I can find my way." Christians, by labeling this man the doubter, we've given ourselves permission to ignore who he really is. A realist who longed for nothing more than to know the truth and to serve Christ alone. In other words, he was not a doubter or a skeptic. He was a realist. That's different. He understood how the world can be. He understood what rumors and innuendos and half-truths and outright lies can do to a person, how easy it is to be misled by all of that. And so, when he was with the disciples that day, and they said, "We have seen the Lord." Well, those of you who were in Wednesday night worship know that there's another interpretation of what was going on, right? Now, think about what I read, between coughs, of course. The disciples are in a room, and it's locked for fear of the Jews. And suddenly, there is Jesus in front of them. He shows them his hands and his side. And he says, "Peace be with you." And then according to John, he breathes on them the Holy Spirit. He says, "The Spirit be with you. Go and forgive the sins of many, and those sins that you forgive are forgiven." And they're busy telling Thomas all about this. And Thomas is listening, and he suddenly says, "No way. I'm not going to believe you until I see his hands myself." Now, why? Think about it. Here are these men telling him all about how Jesus had been there and Jesus had breathed the Spirit on them, and they were supposed to go out and tell all the world. And John looks around and says, "So why are you still standing in a locked room?" Good question, huh? So maybe it wasn't Jesus and Jesus' resurrection that Thomas was doubting as much as he was doubting the disciples who told him. If they believed that he was alive, if they believed that he had given them the Spirit and had told them to go out into the world and to forgive sins, it didn't match. It just didn't match. You know, for Thomas, the only thing that was worse than losing Jesus to the crucifixion would be to build up his hopes that Jesus was actually alive, only to find out that the other 10 were hysterical men building up a myth. He didn't want to go there with them. He couldn't go there with them. His world was already turned upside down. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know where to go. All he wanted was Jesus to come and tell him. He couldn't afford to believe a rumor. Now, I think most of us have probably stood where Thomas was. We've probably been in that place where we wanted nothing more than to believe in God and God's presence among us. But our world is so dark and so upside down that we have a hard time finding even enough hope to hold on for a little while longer. Our world has fallen apart because what could go wrong has gone wrong. Have you ever felt lost and alone? Have you ever been so far down that nothing anyone could say could make you feel better? There was no way that they could help take the hurt or the pain or the gut-wrenching fear away. If you've been there, you know how Thomas was feeling. So stay with him just a little bit longer. Because if you do, then what you're going to discover is that despite all of his friends' questions and what we call doubts, despite the fact that he was holding on to his faith by just a very, very thin thread, Jesus was determined to reach him. He refused to let anything, including deadbolts, chains, or a questioning heart, block him from reaching the person who needed him the most. Jesus was determined to reach Thomas. Thomas didn't have to do anything but wait. And so it is for us. When doubt crowds out hope, when fear overshadows faith, when anxiety clouds our vision, then Jesus will come and he will meet us wherever we are. And nothing, absolutely nothing, can keep him from coming to us. And at that moment, when grace seems to be nothing more than a sick joke or an impossible dream, God will come and offer us peace and love and new life. And in the wonder of that moment, we will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we have been found. To God be the glory, and all God's children say, Amen. Amen.